Isaiah. Major clues from a major prophet. One day, I just might need to unpack the entire major prophet book of Isaiah about the Lord's beautiful promises and eternal plan for humanity. But that's for another day. For this book, I'd like to pop in a few of my favorite chapters in Isaiah that give us insight and show us what to expect in the millennial kingdom. Let's start with Isaiah 45. I'm just saying, Isaiah 45 reminds me an awful lot of my favorite president of all time. Actually, President 45. I would even go so far as to say this president has been anointed for this great day. And I would also say that I find it very coincidental that this president's name is Trump. This is biblical. Enjoy Isaiah 45, and especially note the passages I've marked in bold letters. Isaiah 45, verse 1. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one, whose right hand he will empower. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Their fortress gates will be opened, never to shut again. This is what the Lord says. I will go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. I am the Lord, and there is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you didn't even know me. So all the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I create the light and make the darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. Open up, O heavens, and pour out your righteousness. Let the earth open wide so salvation and righteousness can sprout up together. I, the Lord, created them. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, "Stop, you're doing it wrong"? Does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be?" How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, "Why was I born?" Or if it said to its mother, "Why did you make me this way?" This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose, and I will guide his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people without seeking a reward. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. This is what the Lord says. You will rule the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, the Sabaeans. They will come to you with all their merchandise, and it will all be yours. They will follow you as prisoners in chains. They will fall to their knees in front of you and say, "God is with you, and he is the only God. There is no other. Truly, O God of Israel, our Savior, you work in mysterious ways. All craftsmen who make idols will be humiliated. They will all be disgraced together. But the Lord will save the people of Israel with eternal salvation. Throughout everlasting ages, they will never again be humiliated or disgraced. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I did not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. Gather together and come, you fugitives from surrounding nations. What fools they are who carry around their wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save. Consult together, argue your case, get together and decide what to say. Who made these things known so long ago? What idol ever told you that would happen? Was it not I, the Lord? For there is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God, there is no other. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to me. The people will declare, the Lord is the source of all my righteousness and strength, and all who were angry with him will come to him and be ashamed. In the Lord, all the generations of Israel will be justified, and in him they will boast. End quote. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Hidden treasures, secret riches. I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose, and I will guide his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people without seeking a reward. That just sounds an awful lot like my favorite president of all time, Isaiah 60. Now, let's look at some chapters in Isaiah that focus on the millennial kingdom of Christ on earth. It seems we never talk enough about our victory and the beautiful days ahead. Isaiah chapter 60 beautifully describes our brilliant future of healing and wealth and unity and peace. We sure do need it. I'm so glad we at the Freedom Force Battalion are focused on the fact that what we are experiencing is biblical, so we stay encouraged no matter what. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy, for merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many nations. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord. The flocks of Kedar will be given to you, and the rams of Nebaioth will be brought for my altars. I will accept their offerings, and I will make my temple glorious. And what do I see flying like clouds to Israel, like doves to their nests? They are ships from the ends of the earth, from lands that trust in me, led by the great ships of Tarshish. They are bringing the people of Israel home from far away, carrying their silver and gold. They will honor the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has filled you with splendor. Foreigners will come to rebuild your towns, and their kings will serve you. For though I have destroyed you in my anger, I will now have mercy on you through my grace. Your gates will stay open day and night to receive the wealth of many lands. The kings of the world will be led as captives in a victory procession. For the nations that refuse to serve you will be destroyed. The glory of Lebanon will be yours, the forests of Cyprus, fir and pine to beautify my sanctuary. My temple will be glorious. The descendants of your tormentors will come and bow before you. Those who despised you will kiss your feet. They will call you the city of the Lord, and Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Though you were once despised and hated with no one traveling through you, I will make you beautiful forever, a joy to all generations. Powerful kings and mighty nations will satisfy your every need, as though you were a child nursing at the breast of a queen. You will know at last that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. I will exchange your bronze for gold, your iron for silver, your wood for bronze, and your stones for iron. I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. Violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. No longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, and your moon will not go down. For the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end. All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever, for I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. End quote. I could go on and on about how our families will be reunited, and our wealth will be restored, and our cities will be rebuilt, and peace will fill the earth, and our tormentors will be put to shame. But better still, I encourage you to read these chapters in Isaiah over and over and over until they swell into great faith in your heart. These promises will bolster your courage when things seem dark. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is all about our liberation. When your faith feels low, read Isaiah 61. The Lord will free us from our captors, and we will all have joy and praise. Our ruins will be rebuilt, and righteousness and justice will spring up everywhere. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. The Sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere. End quote. I believe Isaiah 61:2 is one of the main reasons the Lord compelled me to start the Freedom Force Battalion and share how what we are experiencing is biblical, literally. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair, the time of the Lord's favor for us, the day of God's anger for the New World Order. No doubt about it. Isaiah 62. Next, I have literally been praying Isaiah 62 for over 10 years. I didn't know what this great awakening would look like, but I prayed for it. Who could imagine what a worldwide great awakening would look like? And it's more amazing than I ever imagined. Honestly, I thought it would begin in the church. Yeah, that's not what happened. But it's a movement of faith all the same. Silly New World Order, you infiltrated the church attempting to stop the Great Awakening. Didn't you know the Spirit of the Living God cannot be contained in church buildings? I've highlighted a few verses from Isaiah 62, but I love them all. I especially love verse 6. Isaiah 61, verse 6. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. End quote. We are those watchmen, patriots. We are at our posts, watching and posting and praying day and night. We don't rest. We don't give the Lord any rest either. We keep praying until this job gets done. Why do we do this? Because we love his kingdom, and we want to see his kingdom come, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 62, verse 1. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. The Lord has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength, I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine. You raise the grain, and you will eat it, praising the Lord. Within the courtyards of the temple, you yourselves will drink the wine you have pressed. Go out through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road, pull out the boulders, raise a flag for all the nations to see. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. They will be called the holy people and the people redeemed by the Lord. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place and the city no longer forsaken. End quote. Notice how the Lord takes away our old names of disgrace and gives us beautiful new names of honor. The city of God's delight, the bride of God, the holy people, the people redeemed by the Lord, the desirable place, the city no longer forsaken. And I especially like that we who have raised the grain will get to eat it, and we who have pressed the wine will drink it. No more will these creeps rob us of our hard-earned money. Isaiah 62, verse 5. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. End quote. A marriage literally made in heaven. Isaiah 63. I'm just sharing a short part from Isaiah 63. It's very graphic imagery of the Lord fighting our enemies. This battle between the Lord and the forces of darkness is a bloodbath. This is our Lord trampling our enemies, the Edomites, the family of Esau, the twin brother and sworn enemy of Israel. You likely never heard that in Sunday school. Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, with his clothing stained red? Who is this in royal robes, marching in his great strength? It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. It is I, the Lord, who has the power to save. Why are your clothes so red, as if you've been treading out grapes? I have been treading the winepress alone. No one was there to help me. In my anger, I have trampled my enemies as if they were grapes. In my fury, I have trampled my foes. Their blood has stained my clothes. For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from their oppressors. I was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed, so I myself stepped in to save them with my strong arm, and my wrath sustained me. I crushed the nations, the wicked, in my anger, and made them stagger and fall to the ground, spilling their blood upon the earth. End quote. Just wow. Isaiah 64. Another short passage. This one is a prayer from Isaiah 64 for the Lord to come down and destroy the wicked. I believe the Lord has come down and is answering that prayer. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. End quote. Our enemies are learning the reason for the Lord's fame. They are learning why they should have feared him. They are learning why we are devoted to him and why we love him so. Because he rescued us from the power of darkness and he loves us like a bridegroom loves his bride. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 65. My Freedom Force Battalion has heard me quote Isaiah 65 many times. It's the chapter that says we will live as long as trees. It also proclaims fierce words of judgment from the Lord to the wicked. Quote, now I will destine you for the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. End quote. I wonder how many of them realize this is their day of judgment. These words will soon be fulfilled. I would not want to be them. Isaiah 65, verse 11. But because the rest of you have forsaken the Lord and have forgotten his temple, and because you have prepared feasts to honor the God of fate, and have offered mixed wine to the God of destiny, now I will destine you for the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. For when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. You deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what you know I despise, Baal worship. Therefore, This is what the sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will starve. My servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be sad and ashamed. My servants will sing for joy, but you will cry in sorrow and despair. Your name will be a curse word among my people, for the sovereign Lord will destroy you and will call his true servants by another name. All who invoke a blessing or take an oath will do so by the God of truth, for I will put aside my anger and forget the evil of earlier days. End quote. The destiny of the evildoers is the executioner's sword. But just look at our amazing, bright, beautiful future, patriots. We will eat and drink and sing for joy. Verse 17. Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad, rejoice forever in my creation, and look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old. At 100, only the cursed will die that young. In those days, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards, for my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. They will not work in vain, and their children will not be doomed to misfortune, for they are people blessed by the Lord, and their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. End quote. The promises go on and on and on. The Lord has covered everything. We will inherit it all. Who's glad to know Isaiah 65? Me. Isaiah 66. And here's a portion of the last chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 66. The Lord reminds us one more time of the woman in labor. Isaiah 66, verse 8. But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, her children will be born. Would I ever bring this nation to the point of birth and then not deliver it? Asks the Lord. No, I would never keep this nation from being born, says your God. End quote. Our millennial kingdom will be born. The Lord has not worked this long and this hard to get us to this point of birth for his kingdom not to be born. The sign of the Son of Man, also known as the woman in labor, proves this is the day. And this passage, plus 30 others, indicate that this is the end times for the wicked and 1,000 years of peace for us. Isaiah 66, verse 6. What is all the commotion in the city? What is that terrible noise from the temple? It is the voice of the Lord taking vengeance against his enemies. Before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin. Her children will be born. Would I ever bring this nation to the point of birth and then not deliver it? Asks the Lord. No, I would never keep this nation from being born, says your God. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all who love her and all who mourn for her. Drink deeply of her glory, even as an infant drinks at its mother's comforting breasts. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arms, and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. When you see these things, your heart will rejoice. You will flourish like the grass. Everyone will see the Lord's hand of blessing on his servants and his anger against his enemies. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his swift chariots roar like a whirlwind. End quote. I am so thankful we see these things, patriots. That is why our hearts rejoice as we trust the Lord and his promises. We know we are seeing the Lord's hand of blessing on his servants and his anger against his enemies. I hope you enjoyed the major clues from the minor prophets. I'm sure if I were sitting right beside you, you would nod your head along with me and agree. There is no doubt that we are going to defeat our enemies and enter 1,000 years of peace on earth. The Lord's promises are as clear as a bell. So now all we need to do is share this wonderful truth with everyone we know. We can't hide this truth under a bushel basket. Let's shout it from the rooftops. One day, everyone will know. For now, everyone needs to know how the Lord is not destroying us. He is rescuing us. And we will see every knee bow and every tongue confess that He is the King of the world. We praise you, Lord, for your perfect plan and your amazing love and power to bring your plan to completion.